Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay, so we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, entitled Questions by the Sages, Text 18.
Ataksya hi harer diman.
Ataksya hi harer diman.
Avatara katasubaha.
Avatara katasubaha.
Lila vidad hatash svaram.
Lila vidad svaram.
Ishvarasyatma mayaya. Ataka yi harer diman.
Ataka yi harer diman.
Avatara katashuba.
Avatara katashuba.
Lila vidadata svairam.
Lila vidadata svairam.
Ishvaras yatma mayaya. Atakya hi hare diman.
Avatara
katashubha.
Lila vidata svairam.
Ishvarasya mamayaya.
Atakya hi hare diman.
Avatara katashubha.
Lila vidata svairam.
Ishvarasyatma mayaya.
Atakya hi harer diman.
Avatara katashubha.
Lila
vidadata svairam.
Ishvarasyatma
mayaya.
Ata.
Therefore.
Akyahi.
Describe.
Hare.
Of the Lord.
Diman.
O sagacious one.
Avatara.
Incarnations.
Kataha.
Narratives.
Shubaha.
Auspicious.
Lila.
Adventures.
Vidadata.
Performed.
Svairam.
Pastimes.
Ishvarasya.
Of the Supreme Controller.
Atma.
Personal.
Mayaya.
Energies.
Translation.
O wise Sutta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by his internal powers. Purport. For the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material worlds, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead himself, appears in many thousands of forms of incarnations. And the specific adventures found in those transcendental forms are all auspicious. Both those who are present during such activities and those who hear the transcendental narrations of such activities are benefited.
So we've been already discussing all about the Lord's pastimes. Here it's said that even if we're not there
when the Lord's performing his pastimes, still we get the benefit simply by hearing about those pastimes. So I was remembering Vyasadeva, and how he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because at first he was considering his task was to make the Vedas. And he performed great austerity, taking all of the verses and putting them into the different Vedas and organizing it all. But even after all of that, he felt disturbed. And when his spiritual master Narada Muni came, he immediately asked him, "Could you find why am I so disturbed? You know me. Could you tell me what is my problem? What have I done?" How many of us are so humble that we ask another devotee, "Could you point out my problems?" It's very difficult. But he asked that. So Vyasadeva, he said, actually, there's two verses that are really nice. He said, "Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there." Then the next verses. "On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest." That's Srimad Bhagavatam 1, 5, 10, and 11. So Srila Vyasadeva went on to make the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Amala Purana, which is the nectar of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, which we are hearing now. And Srila Prabhupada, in 1972, I think, the Krishna book was published and put out. And I remember that I bought the Krishna book, and I could not quit reading it. It was just so amazing. And you imagine, you know, you're a Catholic. I was born a Catholic, brought up like that. You know, and you see God, he's just sitting on a throne somewhere. Who knows what he does besides sit on the throne. He has a beard. And, you know, and then you kind of think, well, what is he? He controls everything, but who is he? What does he do? You know, but then getting this Krishna book and reading about what Krishna does, it's so incredible, so amazing. You know, all of his pastimes. This month, we're singing the Damodarastika prayers, morning and evening, and every day, reminding us of these pastimes of the Supreme Lord and how much nectar there is there. Little Krishna, you know, he's sitting there, his mother's churning the butter. It's said in the Krishna book that she was churning the butter because all of her servants were all busy elsewhere. So she decided to do herself. And she's always thinking how to make the nicest things for little Krishna to eat, right? The best butter. It's said that she even takes the milk and the cream from cows that she knows gives the best milk. Because I don't know if you've ever noticed, but every cow gives a different kind of variation of milk. Their flavor is different. Has anybody noticed that? Well, I have. In fact, we had one cow. She gave such creamy, thick, wonderful milk. And then we got another cow, and she gave kind of watery kind of milk, not so thick. And people were going, "Are you adding water to the milk?" But it was just the flavor, the difference in the milk. So So Mother Yashoda wanted the best milk for Krishna. So she chose, she had a special cow that gave the milk. So she began churning, you know, and churning. And little Krishna was hungry, so he's pulling on her sari. I want to eat. So looking at his wonderful, beautiful face, she sat down, stopped churning, and started to feed him. But while she was feeding him, all of a sudden she heard, pshh. You know that sound when milk goes over into the flame and there's that pshh? And she put him down and she ran to set it right. Meanwhile, Krishna's going, why is she setting me down for some milk going over? And he got very angry. He picked up a stone and he broke that pot that she was churning the yogurt into butter. And he took a bit of the butter and he ran away to hide because he knew he was going to be in trouble. So Krishna's hiding and he finds more pots hanging up and he's feeding the monkeys all the butter and yogurt that's there and he's eating himself. Well, Mother Yashoda came back and there was no sign of Krishna, but there was a broken pot. And he knew immediately, this is his work. Who else could have done that? So, do you know how she found him? Little buttery footprints along the path. So she's following the footprint. She picked up a stick and she was going. And Krishna, he was feeding the monkeys, but he was looking around because he knew she was going to be coming. So he was a little fearful. So when he saw his mother there, he jumped up and he saw the stick and he started running. And he was running and running, and Mother Yashoda was running after him. And it said that Krishna was running so fast. I don't know if you've ever chased a little child, but sometimes they are so quick. And you're running, and it's hard to catch up. So she was running after him, and he was running and running, and she had the stick. And he was fearful. There were tears, and he was so fearful. Finally, she caught him. And it said that from the running, she was so tired that her hair was falling out and the flowers were falling from her hair. And she caught him and she said, why are you doing this? You're so naughty. Why are you breaking this pot? And Krishna's scared. He's shivering in fright. And all his necklaces and his earrings are shaking. I had this experience the other day. My granddaughter was doing something naughty. I can't even remember. But I said, what are you doing? And she got so scared, and she started crying, and I felt so bad. So Mother Yashoda is feeling like this. You know, Krishna is scared. He's crying. All the cudgel off his eyes are going down in streams on his face. She's feeling bad. But she knows it's her duty to chastise him. So she says, now, Krishna, you're being so naughty and uncontrollable. So I'm going to tie you. I'm going to tie you up so you can't do any more mischief. So Krishna's seeing the stick, and he's scared. She throws the stick down, thinking, if he's too scared, what will he do? He might run into the forest. Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that she was thinking, what if he runs into the forest and some tigers get him, or he gets lost, or... So she's always thinking of his welfare, even when she's chastising him. And she's looking at his beautiful face. You know, it's described how he has this beautiful face, and he's got red cheeks due to all of her kisses on his cheeks. But his cudgel is coming down with all tears. So in this way, Mother Yashoda takes a rope. And it said it's a rope for tying cows. And if you have cows, you always have ropes hanging around all over the place. Somebody gets loose, you can catch them. I know in India they tie their legs so they don't kick the bucket. So there's always little bits of rope. So she took one of these ropes and she went by the grinding mortar and she tried to tie him. But the rope was 2 inches too short. So she got another rope and tied it, and still 2 inches too short. And again and again. And it said that even some of the gopis in the village came to offer ropes to tie him. And still, it would not go. And she's thinking, my son's waist is so little. He's just a little boy. How can all these ropes not bind him? How are they not tying? Always 2 inches too short. So Mother Yashoda was working so hard, so hard. It says there was perspiration on her brow. You know, she was holding him and still trying to tie him. And finally, when Krishna looked at her and saw all of her endeavor, then it said, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the mercy from his heart and her endeavor, her effort, made up those 2 inches, and finally she could tie him to that grinding mortar. And he allowed himself to be bound. And it said that even great yogis and that perform so many austerities, yet they can't bind the Supreme Lord in their heart. But this love and the mercy of the Lord can bind Krishna. And that way we can hold Krishna. And he holds us. So he was tied to this mortar, and he was looking in the courtyard, and he saw these two huge trees. In fact, those two trees had been standing there for 100 years of the demigods. Long time. So they were there. And Krishna thought, I have to make Narada's prediction come true. So I have to go and knock down those trees. So here he is, a little baby, and this big grinding mortar he's tied to. And yet he crawls along, pulling this grinding mortar between these trees, and knocks them down. And two demigods come out. Of course, we know Nalakubera and Manigriva. And they had their pastime, which is in Krishna book, that they were licentious demigods. They were sons of Kubera, very proud of their wealth. We can see that in modern day. Always, there's pride. Who gave class the other day? Was that you that gave class and said how wealth makes pride, and then that pride can't remember, but the pride makes for offenses. So these demigods were very proud. They were into women, intoxication. So they were intoxicated. They were in the river, Ganges, bathing with these beautiful young girls. And Narada Muni came along. And when the girls saw Narada Muni, they immediately covered themselves. But these two demigods were just proud. Oh, you know, here we are. Narada Muni saw them and thought, they are so degraded now. They have lost their position as demigods. They become so degraded. So now I have to help them. So he cursed them that you two will become trees. You'll become trees for 100 years of the demigods. But at the end, you will see Krishna face to face. You will be in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So they were born into the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So when he knocked them down, they immediately came and offered prayers to the Lord. And hearing this big crash, you can imagine these huge trees falling down. What a sound. So everyone came running. And the children said, oh, the coward men were saying, what's happened here? And the children said, oh, Krishna, he was tied to that mortar, and he crawled through, and he knocked down these two big trees. Well, most of the men were saying, how could a little baby like that knock down these two huge trees? They were examining the trees. There was nothing wrong with these trees. Yes, and these two sparkling, shiny men came out of these trees. They were thinking. But a few of the men said, that might be so, Nanda. Your son is the most amazing. He does things that no one else can do. So this is Krishna and his pastimes. and they're so relishable. Reading this Krishna book, just it pulls the mind and the heart. And even the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, which the Krishna book is the 10th canto, but it's all about the glories of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining to us how wonderful Krishna is and why he is so wonderful and how we can depend on him and take shelter there, how he protects his devotees, like Gajendra the elephant. When he was by this crocodile, he was stuck in the water, he could not get out. And this crocodile had him, and immediately Gajendra, he picked a lotus out of the water and began to offer it to the Lord and offer prayers. And the Supreme Lord comes and cuts the head of the crocodile and saves Gajendra. And there's the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is just one after another of stories of the Supreme Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, such a young boy. We were talking about the child protection. You know, here's this five-year-old boy, and his father's trying to kill him in all different ways, throw him off a mountain, poison him, so many ways, crush him, feed him poison. I mean, such abuse. And yet, Prahlad, he kept chanting the holy names, taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. And Krishna appeared in such an amazing form to kill his father. Lord Nrisimhadev came out of that pillar in such an amazing form. It said that his roar cracked the universe, and it put fear into the hearts of everyone. So amazing. And there's so many pastimes. Vamanadeva, you know, just a little dwarf, and he comes there to the sacrifice of Bali Maharaj, trying to help the demigods. They asked for his... So he takes the form of this little Brahmin boy. And Bali Maharaj, who we know is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, he's there, and he's performing his sacrifice, and he sees this Brahmin boy, and immediately he offers his respects and says, "What can I give you? I want to give you something." And Vamanadeva said, "No, I don't need anything." He said, "No, I must give you something. You have come to my sacrifice, and I must reward you. I'll give you anything. I'll give you kingdom. I can give you so much." He said, "Oh, maybe 3 steps of land." So they're thinking, 3 steps? He's such a tiny little boy with tiny little feet. What is his 3 steps? He said, no, I can give you so much more. I can give you a beautiful wife. I can give you a kingdom. I can give you so much. He said, for one who's not satisfied with 3 steps of land, no matter what he gets, he'll never be satisfied. Which was such a wonderful thing to hear. We don't need so much to be satisfied. Satisfaction is internal. So all of these pastimes, of course we know then he became huge, and his first step took over the universe. His second step punctured a hole and the Ganges came down. So it's his third step, Bali Maharaj said, just put it upon my head. Just so in this way, the Lord performs so many different pastimes in so many different incarnations, and they're all so wonderful to hear and to talk about. This is real Krishna Katha, is hearing and speaking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees and his pastimes and his form. And this is what satisfaction of the heart, this is where it comes from. So many other things. In one of the purports to that sloka in the first canto that I was reading, Srila Prabhupada talks about the difference between transcendental literature and other kinds of literature. So there's some guests here. I don't know if anyone wants to see them. They look like... Yeah. So So he describes how crow-like men go for, you know, Time magazine, newspapers, all kinds of, you know, there's no end to the amounts of nonsense literature that is out there. And now we even have it online, you know, you can get it all kinds of ways. And he said it's all about politicians and you know, different accounts of activities of impious people. But the transcendental literature is all about the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And this other mundane literature just is saddening to the heart. It just makes us shrink. But this transcendental literature makes one blossom, because it's not hackneyed. It's not, never gets old. For thousands of years, devotees have been reciting these pastimes of the Supreme Lord, and still we become enlivened by repeating and hearing these pastimes. So at the end of this purport, when Prabhupada says that both the person being there, like Mother Yashoda and all the cowherd ladies and men that were there when Krishna was performing his pastimes, all the gopis, when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, it's so amazing how transcendentally covered everyone is. When he lifted the hill, Mother Yashoda said, "Nanda Maharaj, you have to help him. He can't hold that hill by himself." All the cowherd men put their sticks up to help hold the hill, not thinking, how could a boy even pick up a hill like that? But thinking that he might drop it. You have to hold him, he's just a little boy. So in this way, they thought of Krishna, they think of Krishna just as their young boy. They don't see anything. When Krishna opened his mouth, when the boys were all saying, he ate dirt. Oh, he ate dirt. Mother Yashoda said, okay, open your mouth and let me see. And when he opened that small little mouth, she saw inside there all the universes. She couldn't believe what she was seeing. In fact, it said that she fainted seeing this sight in Krishna's mouth. How could I be seeing this? And then when she came to her senses again, she just saw her little boy there. She was thinking, am I going crazy? Is there something wrong with me? Did I really see what I just thought I saw? So all of these pastimes of Krishna, they're so amazing. And all the devotees can relish. She didn't think immediately, oh my gosh, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We must worship him. And why? They're covered by this Maya potency of Krishna so that he can perform all these pastimes. When Krishna's crying and rubbing his eye, he's really crying. He's really fearful. He's not just acting in a play, but these feelings are there because this makes for wonderful pastimes. How could you, if you were just, like when you're on stage acting in a play, there's some feeling, but it's not the same as when you're really going through that thing. So similarly, Krishna, he wants to really enjoy these pastimes with his devotees. So he's really feeling this fear for Mother Yashoda. He's really feeling, you know, that, oh, with the cowherd boys, let's go and steal butter. In fact, there's a really nice pastime at Gopastami that Krishna, he was getting a little older and he wanted to start taking the cows out. And so Yashoda and Nanda were saying, he's still little. Mother Yashoda said, he can't go far. At least just have him watch the little ones just around here with Balaram and the cowherd boys. So at first they just watched the cows just in the courtyards and around the village so they could always be seen. But Krishna wasn't satisfied with that. So then he was talking to his uncles about how, you know, we're big boys now, and we should be taking the cow, not our father and all the cowherd men. They should hand it over to us. So Nanda Baba was noticing that his little boy wasn't looking very satisfied. So he went to his brother and he said, "Have they confided in you what's wrong?" And he said, "Well, actually, they want to take the cows out. They don't want to just be here in the village all day. They want to take the cows out like the bigger men." So Mother Yashoda was shocked. She was thinking, "Now he's going to go out into the forest and I'm not going to see him all day long. How can I live? This is how much affection they have. How can I live without seeing Krishna all day?" So, but they knew they had to let him do this. So they made a whole ceremony with all kinds of, they were given mantras to take care of the cows. They were given special ropes. Even Nanda Maharaj had a special jeweled stick for Krishna to use while herding the cows. And they did a whole initiation ceremony for Krishna and Balaram and some of the other cowherd boys. And then when they were going out, finally they were ready to go out into the forest, Mother Yashoda said, "Well, you have to take shoes. You have to wear shoes. There's all thorns and sticks out in the forest. They'll hurt your little lotus feet." He said, "No, my cows don't wear shoes. I'm not going to wear any shoes." And it said that when the cows heard that, they went and stomped the ground so that it would become soft, so that it wouldn't hurt his feet. And in this way, so many amazing pastimes Krishna performs. And it just, not only does it enwrap the inhabitants of Vrindavan in pools of ecstasy, but also we can be enwrapped in those pools of ecstasy by remembering and hearing about these pastimes. So besides chanting our wonderful mantras and hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, to read these pastimes of the Lord and his devotees is just the medicine that we need for purifying the heart and taking us back to Godhead. So I'll stop there if anyone wants to say anything or correct anything. Or Dharmaraj Prabhu.
So when Krishna starts going out, he had a lot of problems every day, because whilst he was leaving the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda would run behind him and starts fixing his clothes, you know, make sure he's okay, put more kajal on him for protection, and then she would keep walking, going out, and you said, okay, Maya, you can turn back now, it's okay, you can go back, and then she would, you know, he would hold her hands and put her back in the gate, she would go back, and by the time he walked around a minute after, she came running behind him again, and she completely forgot that, okay, now he can go out. So she came, "Where are you going? You know, why are you going out?" Then he had to remind her, "Well, now we're older, that, you know, we're allowed to go out and take care of the cows, and you go back home." He would hold her hands and bring her back. And a minute after, she would forget all of that and run behind him again. And then finally, he would go and call Mother Rohini and said, "Please take her home." And she would hold Mother Yashoda by the hand and take her home. And that way he can go out.
Yes. She kept saying, "Oh, you need lunch pack. You don't have enough in your lunch." She would bring... Yes, very, very wonderful. Yeah. You can see how attractive Krishna's pastimes are. Just, you know, that's what attracts us back to Godhead. Those pastimes, to be in the vicinity. Not even, you know, we're not Mother Yashoda, but to be there to witness, to see. But we witness even through these pages of the Bhagavatam and all. Yeah, those are such... Even in the end, she said, "Okay, Balaram, you go in front." She was telling, "You go from the side. You go, and all the rest of you cowherd boys, keep around him. Make sure he comes back safely." She just motherly love.
I was just thinking that how we hear these pastimes again and again, like just before you started the class, we just read that whole pastime of Damodar. And now you told the pastime, and it's still so fresh. So no matter how much you hear, just heard that pastime. We're just hearing that same pastime every day. And then you're sitting down and telling us that pastime is just so relishable. So it must be something about Krishna, something there that is so relishable, no matter how many times we hear.
That's right. And if how much can you hear about what's going on in the politics or what, you know, it becomes so, oh, I can't see another thing about what's going on. It gets so bad. But these transcendental pastimes, yeah, you could hear it again. Someone could come and tell this story again and we'd want to hear.
Actually, just a couple of days ago, I thought, oh, it's Radha Damodar month, so let me hear pastime. So I Googled, and one devotee in Silicon Valley, was telling the pastime, and it was like so sweet, and it was so relishable, and hear it again. And I was thinking how every time, although we haven't had so many plays, but, you know, Lord Nrisimhadev, appearance day, we have plays, and every year it's just like, wow, can't wait to see the play, you know. We know the pastime, but it's so relishable to hear it over and over,
yes,
over again,
yes,
see the pastime.
And even pictures of Krishna's pastimes. You know, Prabhupada said these are the windows into the spiritual world. You know, it gives us a taste of what the spiritual world must be like, even though we cannot understand at all. We can only understand by what we've experienced, like a mother's love for their child. You can kind of understand because you've had that feeling. And yet we can't really understand the intense bhav that's the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. We can't really understand that.
Thank you for your class, Mother. And even I was thinking when Mother Madhavati was expressing herself there, just by not even hearing, you can just... I've noticed when people touch a book, you can see how their whole demeanor changes just by touching the book. And even if, like sometimes you do book distribution, if people don't want the book, and then you show the book to them, and there's Christians on it, you know, you're tricking them, you know. But yeah, that's very, very powerful, Krishna. Well, that's Krishna.
Yeah, it's Krishna. Yeah. Book form, Krishna. Actually, does anybody remember that drama they did in L.A. with the book as a bomb? Do you remember that? And people would take it home, put it on their shelves. In South Africa, we had these dramas, and the kids used to love that one. And then it would, like, go off, and the person would hold it, you know, pick it off the shelf and start reading, and they'd become a devotee. You know, it was like, but that is what these books are just, they're amazing. Even someone just touches, has it in their home, it has power that we can't imagine.
I just thought to add a few points, and that was in the morning, you know, Mother Yashoda prepares Krishna's lunch, but there are so many preparations, you know, many, many sweets and vegetables and all kinds of rice, and so you know, it takes many bags to carry all this, so she loads them all up with all this prasadam. And of course, we remember Prabhupada's famous statement that I just want to see what's in Krishna's lunch bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, when he's going to the forest, finally Krishna convinces her not to follow her, and she just stands there like a rock, watching him until he's out of sight completely. She just stand there. She would stand there until he comes back if they didn't take her back.
Yeah, the love.
So much affection.
So much. We can't even imagine. It's amazing. And all the residents of Vrindavan have that affection for the Lord. And we too, you know, can have that affection for the Lord. The more we serve and hear about Krishna, the stronger our affection also becomes. I think.
Hare Krishna. In the very beginning, when you were telling about Vyasadeva's despondency, And then when Narada came, Vyas asked him, can you please tell me, since you know me so well, what's wrong, why I'm feeling like this? And you said, can you imagine being so humble? And I can't, but I once attended a seminar that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, taught at Gita Nagari, and I can't remember the topic, but our homework one night was to ask three devotees, what do I need to work on? And so I remember asking one friend, and she said, you know, you're too critical. You know, and so I really appreciated that. It's not that I'm over it, but if we would follow that practice from time to time, it might help us move away the cloud that prevents us from really relishing Krishna's pastimes.
Yeah, then we could be those truly honest men that can relish the pastimes.
Right, right. But also, because everybody was talking about Krishna's lunch, I've also heard that, you know, Krishna was the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Rani. They're the king and queen of Braj. So his lunch had samosas, kachoris, laglus, all kinds of very opulent milk sweets. And the other boys, they were just village boys, so they had chapati and, you know, very simple foods. But when they would all come out in the field, it was like they were stealing one another's lunch. And, oh, let me try what your mother brought from home. So the other boys all ended up eating what Mother Yashoda had made, and Krishna took what their mothers had made and relished it just as much.
And you think Radharani would go there every day to help cook for Krishna, and the cowherd boys would eat there. Because Mother Yashoda heard that whatever she got the blessing, that whatever she cooks, that person has, what was it? Long life? Yeah. And good health, yes. So she wanted the best for her son. So Srimati Radharani came, and imagine that. She's the queen of the kitchen. I can't even imagine what they're eating. So, and he used to do tricks, because all the gopis would watch while they were eating, to see what he liked best so they could make it. And sometimes he would taste something and go, and make a face like, ugh. And then he would look to see, and they were all, oh, what did we do? But he was actually relishing, but giving them also, you know, some relishable moments watching him eat. So, you know, he's a trickster, Krishna. And he's just wonderful. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitya Gaur Premanand ki jai.